We honor the veterans who have served in this church. Can we ask all the veterans to stand up this morning?
Yes.
Stand up and be counted. Let us see those who have served. Praise God. The heroes of this nation who have kept us free and allow us to have this church. Amen. Understand, in some countries, this church would not be allowed. So we thank the veterans. We thank the people who serve. We lift them up and ask God to bless them. But we also thank the men and women in uniform out in those streets every single day, traveling around those streets, that are keeping us safe. Amen. They are serving also. We need to heal the land. Say that with me. Heal the land. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
And there's a bell that
load of material. There is between 125 to 130 American soldiers resting in cemeteries all across the world. 125 to 130 American soldiers resting in places in foreign countries, from Italy to Luxembourg, to Philippines, Italy, all those places, that's where they are. And they were there not because they wanted to take over that land or rule the country. They were there because they wanted to set people free from tyranny and evil. This country sent those people there. They went there to save other people. That's why we honor them, amen? We honor them because they had a cause higher than our own. They had a God cause to free people, to set people free, to keep them, give them a chance that we have to live, to have a family, to raise them, to feed them, to love them, to travel together. That's our men and women in service. And I'm going to give opinions today. I warn you, I'm loaded, overloading with material today. But those men and women who drive these streets every single day, they wear a uniform too. Remember that. And they leave their families at home every single day. Remember that. And those families, just like the families of the soldiers, have to pray every day that their mom comes home, that their daddy comes home, because they face things that none of us would want to face. They're called first responders for a reason. Amen? When something bad happens, they run to it. All of us run away from it. Amen? And the things that they have seen with their eyes are something that none of us in this room would ever want to face. Whether it be in a school, whether it be in an auditorium, whether it be in a church, they were the ones that went and saw it first. That's why we got to lift them up. We got to heal this land. Can we say that together? We got to heal this land. We got to do it. We got to lift, we raise the bar and understand that those people, now, how many are going to, you're all going to say, men make mistakes. Can I get an amen? Amen. We all fail. Men and women make mistakes. Some people do something that they shouldn't do. We're all guilty of that. But we got to raise the bar and understand that these men and women are doing a job that deserves respect, because they go to places in the middle of the night that none of us want to go to. Amen? To protect people. They don't care about who the people are. They're there to protect them. Do they make mistakes? Of course they do. Do engineers make mistakes? Of course they do. Football players make mistakes? Of course they. Understand what I'm saying? Carpenters, any carpenter, anybody ever make a mistake cutting a board? People make mistakes, amen? We got to lift each other up. We're keep tearing each other apart. This nation will not survive. But I know it will. Listen to me. I know it will, because we're calling on God together. Amen. This isn't the only church in town calling on God. Amen. And that's why we raise up our veterans, because what they do and what they represent. Sure, there's going to be a couple of those guys that are going to be wise guys or knuckleheads, as we used to call them. Amen. But that's in everything that we do. We face that. But we got to raise the bar. We got to come together. Every time, my wife will tell you, she thinks that we go to New York, every time I see a police officer, I walk up and say, thank you for what you do. And they look at me like I'm strange. And then they say, thank you. Not because I honored them, but because I raised them up. Because they're protecting me so I can walk those streets. Amen. Those soldiers are out there protecting us so we can live in this country together. Amen. We don't care about political parties. How many want to be free? So it doesn't matter what political party. We want to be free. We want God to lead us. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. I know I throw this at you in the morning. I say, no singers should have to sing this in the morning, but my bride will be. bless America, everybody. Let's enjoy church today, amen? Let's have a joy. Let's get together. Let's unite together in a way that we didn't even think possible last week. I know we can do it. Let's love one another more than we ever thought we could. Let's unite. Jesus walked through that door this morning, I want him to see a church united on fire for him. Even though we have different opinions, we got Red Sox fans and Yankee fans and Giant fans and Cowboy fans, that's all silly stuff. We all love one another. I'm sorry, Redskin fans too. Man. It's the miracle of God. Amen. Bring us into church, dude.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with pride when it's inside making you feel good about something you're doing. Amen. Not something you did for somebody, but something you're doing that's the right thing. Gives you pride to know you're helping somebody. It gives when you're lifting somebody, when you're feeding somebody. That's God's way. Amen. Responsive reading. Oh, we're going to read in unison. All right. This is going to be good. Everybody kind of get a rhythm. Just get a rhythm. This is going to be good. Marty, man. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love. A time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. You guys did that really well this morning. That was really great. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. My wife and I thought it was 2 years that my brother had passed. Somebody said they thought it was 1 year, but it's actually 2 years. My sister-in-law passed away 2 hours from the day that my brother passed away, the same day. And I thank you for those prayers. Amen. I thank you for the love that you give to me and we share together. She suffered a lot after my brother passed. She was never herself anymore. She gave up. She had served my brother for 4.5 years while he went through his sickness. And when he passed, she basically had nothing left. She would very seldom leave the house. And she was sick herself and tried to take care of herself. But she had no strength to fight. And there's a part of me, and you all say this and you all agree, there was a part of me that she was waiting to be reunited with my brother again. Amen? Reunited with my brother. That's the testimony today. We saw last week evil at its best. Amen. And I tell you, there's no depth. Evil doesn't have a bottom. It's going to get worse. The Bible tells us it's going to get worse. Amen. People come against people. People get so evil. Amen. And then we saw the world say, we're sending our prayers to these people. And some people don't understand what a prayer is. Some people don't understand the power of prayer. Some people don't understand the hope of a Christian. Paul tells us that if this is all we have, if the resurrection isn't real, and we don't have hope, and we don't have Jesus, and we don't not raised from the dead, Paul said, all the pitiful that we are, if this is all there is, amen? But as a Christian, we believe that there is more, amen? We believe in more. We don't see it. We want to believe it. Some of us are afraid to believe it, amen? But the time will come when you'll believe it with all your heart because you know that's your next journey, amen? And when we believe that and we ask God to help us and lift us and to heal us, because that God is the God of healing. That God is the God of forgiveness, the God of hope, the God of mercy. Amen. The world does not know that. Understand that. Some people who wrote things and said things about God and it's an abomination to me, but it's not to God, because he told me it's going to happen. Amen. He told me there's going to be people who reject him, who don't want any part of him, who deny that he even exists. So I accept that. What they miss is the beautiful part of prayer. Amen. People calling and saying, I'm praying for you. So what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that they're giving me hope. They're giving me encouragement. They're lifting me up. They're giving me strength. Imagine that. Strength to face losing the person you love the most. Imagine that. When I was a kid, I used to say, I can't imagine losing my mother and father, Sergio. And you know what? I wasn't supposed to imagine that. That wasn't where, but when it happened, I had the strength of God to get me through it. See, that's where prayer comes in. I've spoken, evidently, encourage people at memorial services. I just did it a few weeks ago. I go to these places where somebody has passed away and the people all are sorrowful. They love this person. And I go there and I bring this along with me. And I bring the word of God along with me. And I bring hope and encouragement. I talk about tomorrow. I talk about being with Abraham. I talk about families being reunited, loved ones being reunited. And when I get through with that service, people come up to me and they have hope. They laugh. They smile because there's a strength inside. I've given them something to look forward to. I gave them a love. I gave them a way out of their sorrow, out of their pain. Amen? The world does not understand that. I tell people, if you don't believe in God, when you lose somebody that you love with all your heart, where do you go? What do you do besides fall apart and lose everything that you know, lose yourself? The power of prayer and the power of this book and the power of knowing and loving God gives us all these things. It gives us healing. It gives us comfort, hope, strength, love, and a way out for tomorrow. And that's when people say, I'm going to pray for you. The other person that receives that prayer knows what they're talking about. I'm going to ask God to heal you today. No words. And I tell people this all the time, and you'll say amen. If you meet those people in that church today, there are no words that you can tell them to heal them. Their sorrow is immense, amen? But you can put your arm around them and give them hope. And that gives them strength to stand up. And when they stand up, to walk. And when they walk, to believe, amen? That's God. That's the God that we share. That's prayer, amen? We're not just talking to the ear. We always say, from your lips to God's ears. I believe that. When George sings God Bless America later, I believe he's hearing us. Asking us, God, we're going to mess it up if you don't help us. We mess up every day. Amen? That is the part of prayer that the world doesn't understand. I wish I can go on all these talk shows. I do. I really do. And talk about God in a way that, stop talking about generalities or quoting a scripture. That doesn't get it. Talk about Jesus, who he is, and what he brings to people's lives. Amen? That's what people need to hear. They don't need to hear somebody read scriptures that doesn't pertain to them or something they've never lived through. They need to hear the good news. Jesus said, preach the good news. Amen? Give them good news. And that's what we do. So when you pray for somebody, when you called me, my folks, and my wife put that on Facebook, and all these Facebook returns, oh, well, Larry, we're praying for you. It meant the world to me, because there's nothing greater you can give to me at that moment than your prayers, knowing that you're with me as a family. Amen? That's, and trust me, family is one of the hardest things to deal with. Amen? It's the hardest thing. My brother... was, you all went to that memorial service. My brother used to come to this church, tell me how proud he was of me. That kind of pride made me feel like my older brother saying, I'm really proud of you. And I went to that service. Nobody asked me to speak. Nobody asked me to talk. Nobody asked me to sing. Nobody. And I'm thinking, if my brother was here, he'd be so mad. Amen? I'm not even listed in this obituary. Every person in the family is listed in there. I'm the brother-in-law. I get it that the cousins and maybe some of the nieces and nephews, but I'm the brother-in-law of a pastor of a church. And I wasn't asked to speak at my sister-in-law's memorial service. But you know what? That's fine. It's family, amen? Family is the hardest to deal with. Sometimes family is the hardest to forgive. It's amazing. But I was talking to some of my family this week, and the family is having a hard time forgiving. And I said, wait a minute. They all go to church. I know, but they can't forgive. I said, then why are they going to church? I'm sorry. Let's be honest. What does it say in the Lord's Prayer? You said it earlier. What is it? God, Gary, God put that one line in there. That was the kicker. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I can't forgive. Do you know what that person did 30 years ago? It's the truth, Greg. It's the truth. They're still mad about 30 years ago. Amen? 30 years ago. It's like I was saying a couple of weeks ago. 40 years ago, my dad and I used to watch All in the Family. Remember, Greg, I mentioned that? We used to watch the Jeffersons and All in the Family and Sanford and Son. All those bigots and all those things. And what did we do? We laughed. Because they were embarrassing to themselves. They were just an example of how silly or dumb or whatever word you want to say people could be. Amen? And then one day, all of a sudden, now we're offended. What happened? What happened to the laughter? What happened to saying, that's just ridiculous? We forgot how to forgive. Amen? 40 years ago, we watched that. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm trying to tell you personal business. I don't want this to be about me. But my family was telling me 30 years ago, somebody said something, did something. 30 years ago. If you survived those 30 years because of what somebody said, I guess you did pretty good. Amen? If you survived and you were able to eat every day and you went to work every day and you got on the phone and you drove your car and you lived your life and you fell in love and you didn't fall in love, I guess you learned to survive the 30 years. Amen? But boy, when it happens, you turn back and all of a sudden there's no forgiveness. Because they're not living this way. Amen? They're not living in prayer. Amen? They're not understanding prayer. And Jesus even said to some of the Pharisees, some of the people who knew God said, get away, I never knew you. Because they never knew him. Amen? And there's some people going to church every Sunday who don't know him. That's why I say, I'm not bragging, I'm not saying, I'd love to go on these talk shows and sit down and tell them about Jesus, tell them about forgiveness, tell them we don't hate anybody in this church. I don't care what you did in your life, we don't hate you. You're welcome to come. If you're searching for God, this is the place to be. I don't care what you did last week, I don't care where you go tomorrow, that's between you and God, amen? Because we're bringing them God, this God. How many people have ever heard the song, Amazing Grace? Oh, you've heard that one? Amazing grace. Well, the wretch I was that God forgave me. How dare us not forgive those who have forgotten, who have come again? How dare us? If we want God in our life and want to show people God, that's the first thing we must do. Now listen, you don't have to go to have dinner with him later. You don't have to spend a week. You don't have to invite him to your house for a weekend. You don't have to be around people who aren't of the same mind, but we need to forgive, amen? And then when you forgive, you can move on. That's why I talked earlier. I had this all written out. I talked earlier that we all make mistakes. Men make mistakes. Man fails. Amen? Laws fail. Imagine that. Man make the laws and the laws fail. How can that be? How can any law ever fail, right? And man makes laws and said we need to follow those laws. Because man fail. Amen? Hallelujah. Injustice knows no color. Sorrow knows no color. Pain, poverty knows no color. Amen? We need to look in the mirror and start taking responsibility. And I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching with you. Telling you to lift you up. I want to unite us to face that responsibility. Hallelujah. We need to show the world Jesus. Every Sunday I come to this church praying that I can tell you something about Jesus in a way that you didn't see it before. Tell you something about God in a way you didn't see it before. That changes your life. Amen. That makes you want to look into this book. To make you want to be stronger. To make you want to face. Because let me tell you, I give you the bad news. You're all going to face things. Might be this week. You're going to face things. You're going to face an argument. You're going to face discomfort. You're going to face all kinds of confusion. Because that's called life. Amen. But when you have this behind you, when you have the foundation underneath you, you have the power to change that. Amen. And that's God. That's the God I want to hear about on TV. That's the God I want to talk about and hear people talk about. The God of forgiveness. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. I would like to hear every church sing it and they go outside and you ready? Live it. Live it. You sang it. It feels good. Everybody's jumping around on stage. You know, I see that, and I know I've asked you to do that, and I'm sorry if I asked you to get up and do that, because if it's not in your spirit, I don't want you to do it. But I see people who are jumping around on stage singing Amazing Grace and go outside and forget what they just sang. So what did they do? Put on a show? We need to go outside and live it. Amen. Live Amazing Grace. It will change your life. It will change their lives. Give God praise. That's the testimony. Hallelujah. I'm on override. Let's pray together. Good Maestro. Heavenly Father, you give us the way to hope. You give us the way to peace. And not only in our friends' life, but our life. Peace in our life. What kind of a reflection are we showing the world, Lord? When we can't even come together as a family, the church can't even come together, that we're divided in church. What kind of example is that? We need to stop that and forgive one another and pull the walls down and join together and praise God. Show the world Jesus. Show the world what amazing grace means. Show the world what forgiveness means. Show the world the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Just saying, I'm praying for you today. You tell that person, whether they believe it or not, that you're talking to God for them today. They may not even know God. They may be mad at God. They may not believe there is a God. But you say, I'm praying for you today. And they have to acknowledge that you're talking to the God that you believe for them today. And that has to leave them with more than nothing. That leaves them with something to think about. Something to ponder. And when they see your joy, they ponder it. When they see your hope, they think about it. When they see your smile, they wonder, how can you be smiling at a time like this? Because God is with me. And when God is with me, nothing can come against me. When God is with me, we rise up together, healing people, healing folks around us, giving them that hope, giving them that comfort. And as the Bible says, giving them that peace that surpasses our own understanding. That's God. Let's receive that today, and let's joy, let's be stronger together, and let's be stronger as a family, and know that we're on the right track, talking and praying to God, and hope of tomorrow, and someday seeing those people that we've loved so much, that have taken that journey before us, because that's the promise of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, Lord. Give them praise, church. We're going to have a little ceremony here, hopefully shortly, because I would like to lift up Sergio. I would like to make him a deacon in this church. I would like to give him that strength because he has been faithful to come to this church, faithful to help, faithful to talk to people his age that come to this church, faithful to ask people to come to this church. And he has done for this church in his own way things that none of us can do because of his age, because of who he is, his presence. When people see him, they smile. When people greet him, he smiles. And I believe that, I remember one time back at Grace and Vessels when the pastor said to me, "We're going to make you a deacon, Larry." It made me feel like I was doing something right. That I had finally changed my life in a way that these two people who I adore, my pastor said, "Larry, we're going to make you a deacon." I just got goosebumps on my just thinking. What that meant to me was that other people, you know, not to call me deacon, that was, but other people would hear that Deacon Larry and they'll say, "Oh, he's affiliated with the church. He's part of the ministry. He must be doing something with the church. He must be doing something right." Amen. And that brought people to me, but that made me feel like, I want more. I want more now. I'm a deacon. Maybe someday I'll be an elder. Or maybe someday I'll be a pastor. Nah, that would never happen. Too many faults. Too many things I've done wrong in the past. God, I hope nobody from 30 years ago ever comes in this church and tells you something I did 30 years ago. I pray to God that never happens. Lord, help me. Because I've made mistakes in my life. Amen. But I look at this man every Sunday, and I look at this man who gives, who cares so small, the small things, who carries Greg's guitar out every Sunday. Amen. Now, Brother Mark meets me at my car and carries my guitar. That's not a little thing. Understand that. That is caring enough to wait. Mark waits in his car every Sunday for me to carry my guitar in. He carries Grace's guitar out every Sunday. He does things that makes my heart happy. He makes me feel good. He encourages me when I see him. And he is faithful. Amen. He is faithful. Now, he's not going to do the Bible study, right, Gary? And he's not going to be praying for everybody. And he's not going to be holding it. He's not responsible for the church to succeed. Amen. But he is responsible for bringing people. He's responsible for encouraging people. Amen. And I believe that he is somebody that we can call a deacon in this church. Somebody who serves the church. Amen. So I would like to do that. So let's just say thank you to Sergio, and we're going to do that. Praise God. We love you. What does that mean to his house when he tells his family and his friends, "I'm a deacon"? Truly, when I told my brothers, the first person I called was Petey, "I'm a deacon." Wow. Because it meant something to them. As much as it meant to me, it meant more to them. Amen. And I'm proud to have you in this congregation. Proud to call you a brother and proud to see you every Sunday looking at just being you. But, and don't change who you are because that's what made you who you are. So I know it made no sense. Hallelujah. Now, Sergio was telling me that when he read this thing about Ecclesiastics that we did the responsive reading, he remembered a song by a group called The Birds. Anybody remember that song? Turn, turn, turn. I know Fred did. That's it. He said, "I never knew it was in the Bible." And I love that because now you got something to go back and look at and read again. And when the Bible shows you something for the first time, it's like an enlightenment. Say, boy, if that's in there, what else is in there? And I want to share with you, it's so funny that it happened today, Sergio, because I wanted to share with you something that I saw for the first time years ago that touched me. And this is in the book of Mark. I'm going to read Mark 9:38. I'm going to read this. "Now John answered him, saying, 'Teacher,'" this is John talking to Jesus, amen? He said, "Jesus," well, he says teacher, but he said, "We saw somebody, Jesus, who does not follow us." Follow who? Us. "Casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us." I said, wow. And then I read, and Jesus said, listen to this. This is something like you, this is something that moved me. And Jesus said, "Do not forbid him. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. There's like a paragraph right there that could change a lot of people's opinions, amen, of some other denomination being the only one, of somebody from another church not having the power of Christ, amen, not having the Holy Spirit inside them. That little right there, those little lines right there will tell you something right there. If you're with Jesus, you're a part of us, amen. Jesus is saying, listen, if he's preaching my name and doing miracles, he's not going to talk about me, and he's seeing my hand working. He's not going to talk bad about me later. If he's with us, he's on our side. If somebody gives you a drink of water, does something nice for you because you're a Christian and they're a Christian, that means we're all in the same family. Amen. He will not lose his reward. Hallelujah. When I read that, Sergio, it moved me. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, the Bible speaks of something called the unpardonable sin. Anybody ever hear that? Have you ever read that? You say, well, wait a minute. God will forgive us for all our sins. But the Bible speaks of an unpardonable sin. And I think the confusion lies that it's not necessarily a sin. You know, when you sin, whatever you do that's against God, when you remember the old sin, I didn't go to church on Sunday, that was a sin. I ate meat on Friday, that was a sin. You know, things that we do that are sin, people call sins. I really don't believe the unpardonable sin is an act of sinning. And anybody ever wonder if you can do ever say, I hope I never commit that sin. Let me reassure you, you can't. It's already, you can't do it. Hallelujah. Let me read what it says. I think my glasses are breaking. My head's getting too big. I got a haircut and now they won't fit right. I got a haircut and everything fits. My hat won't even stay on anymore. This is in Matthew 12:31. Listen to what, this is Jesus saying, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, listen to Jesus, he's saying, anyone who speaks a word against me, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. It's called the unpardonable sin. Simply means this is why I say it's not necessarily a sin. If you don't love God, that's one thing. But if you don't want to love God, that's another. If you go out and have all the good things in life and you don't give God the praise and the glory, you don't see God in the hand, and you give the devil credit for good things that happen, when you give the devil credit for everything that you gain, your job, when you don't have any need for God, when you say the Bible is a fairy tale, that there's nothing in here that pertains to their life, that there's nothing in here real, that there's no need for Jesus, there's no need for Christ, there's no need for salvation, it's all a joke. What have you done? You simply denied who? And you denied whose existence? And you denied who? Jesus. You have said with your own words and your actions that you believe that there's no Jesus. There's no such thing as Jesus. That's a fairy tale. There's no such thing. There's nothing in the Bible for me. That's just a book of stories that have no pertaining to me. There's no reality in the book. Amen? Then you have done something that God cannot forgive you for, amen? Understand that. You have done something that God simply can't forgive you for because you never asked him to. You never invited him in your life to say, Lord, show me. Because once you do that, all of a sudden you can't commit that sin because now you're acknowledging God, amen? You're acknowledging and you want to know. But if you just say to yourself, there's not a God, there's no Jesus, it doesn't matter, then you have chosen that path, amen? You have started walking down that road where you don't need God and there's no God and you're going to live your life like that and at the end you're going to have your reward and that was it. Amen? That's the unpardonable sin. So it's not necessarily something you did. It's something you didn't do, amen, that makes it unpardonable. Because how can you be pardoned for something if you never did it? How can you be pardoned for something if you never asked to be pardoned? Not acknowledging that you're doing something simply leaves you to what you had, amen? And that to me is the most important part of what it says. It says, anyone who speaks a word, even, listen, how many people have ever gotten mad at God? How many ever use his name in vain? I mean, how many ever say that? You do that, amen? We do that. And Jesus is saying, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, who is that? Him. It will be forgiven. I'll forgive you if you get mad at me because you're angry at me. I get that. But I will forgive you because I know that you will humble, you will pull back and ask me. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, that's God in spirit. That's the world. That's the blessings. The blessings come from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Those are the things in our life that we give God. When the Spirit enters you, you love God. All of a sudden, the Spirit inside of you is telling you about God, leading you in God, leading you to prayer, leading you to other people, leading you to ask people to come to your church. Imagine that. We need to ask more people to come to church. Amen. That's what we need to do. Don't be afraid to do it. We got people aren't here today. You need to get on the phone and say, where were you? Really? Where were you? First of all, we want you to know that you were missed. Second, we want you to know you missed a message that could have changed your life. And third, it's for you that church is waiting. We need to call these people and say, you need to be here. Amen. And you know, Dave and I always talk, say, I need to tell you about how important Sunday is. And I said, like my wife said, it's always like we're just talking to the choir. Amen. You all know how important Sunday is because guess why? Because you're here. Imagine that. We've tried advertising. Dave spent thousands of dollars. We put flyers out. And none of that works. And I realize now why. It's because it's our job. Amen. Yeah, those little things, we might put a billboard up, we might get one person for $5,000. I guess it's worth it, Gary, if one person came and stayed, I guess, technically. But when you call somebody and they come to church and it didn't cost you anything but a phone call, imagine how the miracles start there, amen? We need to not be afraid. And I'm telling you, call your family. Call people that you haven't spoken to in a while. I know I got friends here who haven't spoken to their children in a while. And I've been kind of pushing them, say, make that phone call. Make that phone call. Do it. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't wait for somebody to call you. You do it. Bring people to church, and this church will be double in size in no time, amen? And when it happens that way, you're going to be just... Imagine if the person... Listen. Imagine if the person you want to be here shows up next week. Amen. And they come and they sit there and then they say to you afterwards, that was awesome. That was really different. I really enjoyed that. And then they say this, I'm coming back. Imagine how good you'll feel inside. Imagine what that will make you feel like. You'll say, God, I need more of this. Amen. And that's the way God works. Amen. You're never going to commit the unpardonable sin because you already love God. Amen. So it's impossible to not love God once you love you. Just even if you say, I don't love you anymore, he will laugh at you because he knows that's flesh speaking. Amen. Because his spirit is already, you can't tell the spirit to get out. It's already there. Amen. You can't, you cannot, if you really love God, walk away from God. You can be mad at God. You can stop praying. You can get mad at the people you love. You can, but nothing changes because God's love is perfect. Amen. So give him praise today because this is where we are. Hallelujah. Heal the nation. We can do it. We can heal this nation. We can do it one person at a time, lifting up other people. Hallelujah. Can you imagine today if every church in the United States, every church, every preacher, every pastor, every priest stood up and said, we need to forgive each other? Forgive means letting go. I mean, we don't have to ever forget. You don't forget, but we have to. Imagine if they just said, we need to forgive each other for anything and forgive the past so we can move on. To forgive, just forgive each other. Look in the mirror and say that I'm going to forgive whoever and whatever came against me, whether it was last year, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 150 years. If we just stood up and forgave each other and we started from that place, imagine how the country would be tomorrow morning. Amen. And that's the power of God. Amen. Forgiveness is God. Can you imagine if every church and every preacher said, we all need to forgive each other and forgive things in the past that we had no control over. We had no part over. Something happened 150 years ago. We weren't even there. Let's forgive. Amen. Because we don't know. So forgiveness works. Amen. That's the power of God. That's the healing. Give God praise, church. Jesus said, I don't know who you are yet. You're not even in the world yet, but I'm going to get on that cross and give my life for you. I'm going to shed my blood for you. You don't know me and I don't know you, but I'm going to do that for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He told his disciples, this is my body being torn for you, beaten for you, as he ripped that bread in pieces, saying just simply wanted them to eat and do this in remembrance of him. What he was about to do for the world that didn't know him yet, for us today, once for all. Amazing grace, how great the sound. We're living in the covenant of grace, unmerited favor from God. Who are we to not forgive others after what he did for us? Forgiveness doesn't cost you a dime, doesn't cost you a dollar, $100, $1,000. You don't have to send $19 a month. Forgiveness is free to give. Forgiveness sets you free and the other people free to live. Hallelujah. Forgiven, we've been lifted up, and we've been justified through the blood and his sacrifice on that cross once for all. And he simply asks, we do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. Brother Petey taught me years ago, there's no yeah buts. Well, you don't know yeah but, so there's no such thing. Thank God, God doesn't have a yeah but. What he did for us, he did for all of us, once for all. That grace given to us freely, we keep messing it up. He keeps feeling it, he keeps fixing it for us and holding us and healing us. By what he did on that cross, we can stand here doing this in this house in Jesus' name. Forgive us, Lord, our iniquities of this week. Cleanse us, Lord. Heal us. Help us. Help us to do more, Lord. Help us to be free to do more. Show us, Lord, that there's people who need to be here. Not for numbers, but for healing, for themselves and for others. Let these people know that anybody they bring here will make their heart stronger and their faith stronger. That the circle will continue. When you see that God's work really does matter and does change things. When you taste it, and you see it, that's when your life changes. Call people to come to the Word of God. And we promise here that we will give him that Word. We will feed them that Word. We will teach them about Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Thank you.